Welcome to the all-new VM Podcast. This is where we discuss the latest and most fascinating, powerful, and disruptive additive manufacturing and 3D printing technologies with the people that invent, develop, use, and market them. Join us on this journey as we take you from voxels to matter through the most advanced applications across aerospace, automotive, healthcare, consumer products, and the most advanced areas of digital production. I am your host, Davide Scher, CEO and co-founder of Voxel Matters, the most trusted media, marketing, and market research firm for the ever-growing world of additive manufacturing. Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the VM Podcast. Our guest today is Andy Jeffrey, an AM industry veteran and a 3D printing pioneer, especially in the field of special materials. Today, he is the Chief Sustainability Officer and co-founder of Marvel Labs, and we'll hear more about that in a sec. Back in 2011, Andy co-founded and was president of Figulo Corporation, a company that manufactures ceramic products using 3D printing to offer personalized production of glazed ceramics. Figulo was acquired by 3D Systems in 2013, and he became Director of Ceramic Products at 3D Systems Corporation. In 2015, his career brought him to become President of Boston Ceramics, a company that also specializes in the 3D printing of ceramics for consumer and architectural products. More recently, he co-founded and became the CEO of Forest, a startup that 3D printed beautiful consumer products from sawdust and was sold to Desktop Metal in 2020. Which brings us to Marvel Labs. But before we start, let me introduce your host for this episode, Edward Wakefield. Hi, Ed. How do you feel about hosting your first VM podcast?
Hi, Davide. It's exciting. I'm really looking forward to sharing with everyone the great projects that we learn about here at Voxel Matters.
And fantastic. This is this episode is a fantastic example of that and a great story for our ongoing VM focus on sustainability. So Ed, the microphone is yours.
So just a quick introduction. My name is Edward and I'm the senior editor at Voxel Matters. I know a little bit about you, but not nearly enough.
I'll try and fill you in a little bit. My 3D printing history goes back to the, I wouldn't say the dark ages, but it goes back to the early 90s when I first founded my first company or co-founded my first company, Specific Surface. And we were one of the first licensees from MIT for the binder jet 3D printing process. And we licensed the technology from MIT to make ceramic filters for industrial gas cleaning. And we bought our first machine in 1996. And that was the start of my 3D printing career. After that, I founded a number of companies subsequently based on that initial experience. The next company I started, I was actually a founder of Viridis 3D, and that was with Will Shambley and Jim Brett, who I'd already known from my earlier experiences. He was at Z Corp, and they were also one of the first licensees of the MIT technology, and we met regularly with them in the early days. The Viridis 3D was primarily concerned with, originally it was going to be a materials company, but then it morphed into a machine company. And I've always been interested in making parts using 3D printing, not necessarily inventing 3D printers or improving the hardware. So I left Viridis and started Figulo. And that was really an amazing experience. We started off thinking about technical ceramics as the market, because that was my experience at that Specific Surface. But I was at a rapid conference, and one of the presenters was an artist from Rhode Island. And she said, I'm having trouble getting my parts made. None of the 3D printing companies will take me seriously. And she said one thing which sort of really sparked my interest. She said, don't think that artists don't have money. We do, and we want to spend it. So I immediately went up to her and said, what do you want made? And almost at that moment, I said, we're going to switch from technical ceramics to doing consumer ceramics. And I'd also been following Shapeways. They were in their very early stages as well. And so I called up Shapeways, and long story short, within 3 weeks, we had an agreement with them to make ceramics for Shapeways. We bought a machine. I had one 3D printer. And on the first day, we had more orders than that printer would handle. So I said, let's shut this down and restart. So I leased larger space, got some additional investors to come in with me, bought some more 3D printers, and we started Figulo in South Boston in October 2011. And then that was the sort of the beginning of really a really interesting company. And we grew quite rapidly. We were doing ceramics for all of the major companies that were selling 3D printed ceramics online. So that included some parts for Materialize, Sculpteo, Shapeways, and a few other minor players as well. Fast forward to 2013, and we sold that company to 3D Systems. And I was with 3D Systems for a couple of years, then left 3D Systems when they had reorganization and was looking at different opportunities. Started Boston Ceramics, which ended up operation, and they moved all that technology back to Europe where they're producing ceramics there. And after that, I was looking for my next opportunity, and I'd always been interested in wood, and I'd almost started the wood company back in 2015, but there are a few pieces I hadn't really put together, and so it just didn't gel at that time. But I'd collaborated with Ronald Rail from UC Berkeley on a few projects over the years, and I'd always liked working with Ron. He has a great take on 3D printing technology, was interested in doing sort of big things and looking at a wide variety of materials. So I said to Ron and his partner, Virginia Sanfratello from Emerging Objects, I said, we've been talking about this, let's do something. So we founded Forest in October 2019. It seems to be something about founding companies in October, but it's turned out to be a good month to start a company. So we started Forest in 2019, got space at the beginning of 2020. COVID hit just after that. So COVID was an interesting time to be founding a company. It was great in that everyone had 15 minutes to talk on Zoom, and it was new, so you could get access to almost anyone anywhere in the world, and no one was worried about traveling and meeting in person. It was just a really interesting time to start a company, and it's, in a way, it paralleled what happened with Figulo. I started Figulo. We did all our sales and pitches on Skype, and fast forward 8 years and we're doing the whole thing on or 7 years and we're doing the whole, or 10 years actually, we're doing the whole thing on Zoom. I was very comfortable doing that, and it actually let me gave me a lot of time just focus on what we were trying to do, making parts, what was the innovative thing we could bring to this. And literally a year later, we attracted the attention of Desktop Metal. And we were acquired by Desktop Metal in October 2020. We continued the development, and then eventually the Forest 3D printer was launched by Desktop Metal, I think in November last year. And I had ended my role there in just prior to that launch. And was again looking to see what my next venture would be. Forest really ignited my interest in sustainability and circular economies and how that can be impacted by sustainability. And another sort of person that's been in my orbit for a while, Jake Miller, he and I started talking, and we co-founded Marvel Labs, really focusing on sustainable materials and biomass in a broader sense. So as well as sawdust, we have coffee grounds and seaweed in our portfolio. And seaweed is actually a pretty amazing material. There's millions, if not billions of tons of it floating around in the Atlantic Ocean. and it washes up on the shores of Mexico. And there's a company called Carbon Wave, which is collecting that. And they're using it to generate materials for synthetic and the ocean grown plant life. And we're taking that seaweed in a dried form and grinding it up and then putting that in 3D printers and printing parts with that. That's the latest venture, Marvel Labs. The seaweed, you combine it with some organic, not only making the parts and having beautiful parts to start off with. What's the end of life scenario for these parts? Can they be reused? Are they biodegradable without harming the environment? Is there a recycling component to those parts? So all of those concepts of circularity we're trying to embody in the products that we're planning to make.
And are these products currently consumer products?
Yeah, we're looking at consumer products, things like handbags, buttons, items that are sewn onto clothing or other fashion accessories. Lighting is another one that's emerged as a good market. And I had worked with UK designers, Sophia Hagen and Lisa Hinderdale, and they've indicated that they, once we get up in production, that we would be a source for new products that they're designing in the lighting area. But also just in interior design in general, we think we can do some work in the furniture area. So initially starting off with small furniture pieces such as side tables, as we get confidence with the process and the mechanical properties of the parts, I think progress into chairs or components of chairs, for example, the chair backs as a high visual item on a chair. So I think we can do some very interesting things there. And room dividers and panels, I think, easily fit into our capability as well, where we are not limited by the thickness of the material, say in CNC milling and that sort of thing. We have complete freedom in the Z direction to do some very interesting things. So those are the segments. And longer term, we see interiors as really a sweet spot, and we're thinking about automotive interiors as well, and maybe even the marine industry, so boat interiors. So those types of products are interesting for us as well.
And what is your current business model? Because I see that you've got your first biomass printer now available for pre-order, but what are your other revenue streams at this stage?
So we're planning on creating a factory. Our first factory will be in Indiana, in the middle of the country. Our first printers are actually being made right now, and they will be installed there in July. We also have this idea of a micro factory. It doesn't make sense to be shipping biomass around the world. It's a very inexpensive material. And so we want to use the materials that are available locally. So, you know, coffee grounds is a good example. Coffee grounds are available everywhere. And I think just in Boston, as an example, Starbucks produces several hundred tons of coffee grounds every day, which is all landfilled at the moment. So that material resource is good. There are wood products manufacturers in Oregon, in California, that also generate many hundreds of cubic meters of sawdust every month that potentially can be used in 3D printers. So we see benefits in selling what we call a kind of a factory concept, where we would have equipment to process the biomass. So that would be, or we would characterize a customer's biomass. They would purchase a machine, and then we would have the post-processing workflow available for them to buy. So it would be a complete end-to-end process to be able to produce products locally from local materials using a 3D printer that we have already worked out all of the ins and outs of operations and workflow and capability. So that would be an end-to-end solution for companies that want to use their own biomass. We also plan to be a manufacturer of parts as well. So we have our own ideas of making very well-designed products with our sustainable materials. And so we're, if you like, a test bed to work out some of these ideas, which would then be available for companies that buy machines later on. One of the other things we're exploring is using artificial intelligence to create designs. And already that seems to be advancing very quickly, where you can describe an object on DALL-E and you get a three-dimensional rendering of a chair or a table or whatever object you want. And so we're working, how do we take that and then turn that into CAD that we can then put into 3D printers. One of the challenges I've always found with 3D printing, and this was true, has always been true, is developing content to print. And it's a high definition TV without Netflix or HBO would be almost useless. So the 3D printer is the same feeling I have. We need really good content, compelling content to print on the 3D printers to make this a successful business. So generating that content, making it as easy as possible for people to do that, is one of the things at the front end we want to do. And we think if we can develop a way of doing that, that is something that we can sell to customers as well. So the ability to create content really easily. And there are a number of products out there that can assist with that, such as Shape Diver, where you can have an object and then you can modify it in a number of different ways using the tools that are available on ShapeDiver, and then create something new that's customized or semi-customized for your particular application. And we've looked at that particularly in relation to panels and room dividers and things like that. And there's a relatively well-developed ecosystem for that. So that's one idea. And the other one is, generating designs for chairs and things like that, which we could curate and provide that service for customers as well.
And so as it stands, are customers able to reach out to you to, say, with their own designs to print them using your technology? Yes. And materials?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are. We're taking things a little bit slowly at the moment. I don't want to overpromise until we get our machines up and running, because opening the doors without the capability too early can be a bit of a problem.
Before all of this, before your experience within 3D printing, what were you doing? What's your background prior to 3D printing?
My background is in chemical engineering. I actually attempted to do a chemical engineering degree. I never graduated, but I was always interested in technical things. And prior to 3D printing, I was working at Albany International Research Company, which was based in Boston. And they're an industrial textiles manufacturer making very technical products for the papermaking industry and also for other industrial applications. When I arrived at the research company, my brief was, how do you go from raw materials to finished product in as few steps as possible? And this is before the internet. And I quickly came across 3D printing or stereolithography specifically. And there, at that stage in 1991, there was a whole bunch of companies just emerging in the 3D printing space. So 3D Systems was somewhat well established. And I went and saw their machines, the first one, I think, was at Clemson University. And they were producing skulls and different parts of the head using this 3D printer stereolithography. There was another one in Rhode Island, which had just started, called Quadrax, which was another stereolithography company. And they quickly went out of business, I think, because they were using some patents that 3D Systems owned. So there was some litigation there. And so they didn't end up being successful. And FDM had just started. So Stratasys had just emerged with their fused deposition materials. And so I had parts actually made using FDM way back in the early days. And then I think it was 1992, I went to a talk at MIT where Terry Wallace was speaking. And Terry, that's where I found out about the binder jet technology. And Terry spoke about this, and he said, the thing that really struck me was, he said, you can print almost any material if you can get it in a powder and put it in the printer. And as soon as he said that, the light went off because I was thinking about all these structures in ceramics, and I'd been trying to make ceramic textiles and ceramic objects using filaments. And I'd also met another person who was a very extremely qualified ceramicist here in Boston. And those two things came together, and we said, let's start a company to make ceramic objects. And that was really how I got into it. But it was really Terry that just the light went off in my head, and I decided that, oh, that's what I want to do. And the rest is history.
That's honestly fascinating.
it's amazing what little, I don't know. And I'd also, one of the other things, MIT is a really interesting place for entrepreneurs. I'd been going to the MIT Venture Forum, and I heard Bob Metcalfe speak. And Bob Metcalfe, if you don't know, he invented the Ethernet. Everything that we do, it runs off, I guess, the idea that Bob Metcalfe had. And he was speaking on what you need to do to leave your job and what are the conditions that need to be present for you to leave your job and start a new company. And I was listening to him talk, and I was writing them all down. And at the end of his talk, I thought, wow, I've got all of those things are in my list that I think about. So coupled with the Venture Forum and getting involved in that, also a number of other venture forums, the WPI Venture Forum was really influential for me as well. And just networking with people, 3D printing emerging at MIT, all of those things were there for me to take advantage of and get on this path of 3D printing technology and making stuff. And even back then, I had a dream, 1,000 3D printers in a factory without lights, just making stuff. And I don't think anyone's ever done that yet. They've probably got a few hundred machines. But I still think about that, and that's probably where I'm still going. How can we get there? And coming out of the weaving industry, with industry, if you're familiar with weaving technology, they have thousands of machines printing, or not printing, but weaving denim. And they're all about the size of 3D printers. Their batch process where you put materials in, you start the machine up. These days, they're very highly computerized. So you have many machines run by very few people, and they can make a lot of the same product, or you can make very customized products using those machines. And analogous sort of production process, I think, lends itself to thinking about 3D printing.
Absolutely. So now, on the topic of machines, when are customers expected to receive their first printers?
I think probably not for another few months. We're working on the material sets for the machines. One of the key things is a binder, which is completely bio-based. And we have some candidate materials that we're working on and working with companies that produce that. But there are a lot of materials that we can use there. We're also looking at the infiltration process to make the parts mechanically strong enough. Out of the 3D printer, we need to do some sort of post-processing, bioresins that can be reclaimed. And one of the things that we're looking at using some biomaterials. So we've got an idea to use a kind of a super glue material that's created by bacteria to provide either a binder to glue the biomaterials together, or as a material that we can use to infiltrate to get mechanical strength. So we're aiming to get products that, in terms of their strength, approach that of wood, so they can be used in a similar fashion. That's more challenging for objects that need some sort of structural integrity and have to meet standards, such as furniture. I think in the US, a chair has to be able to withstand 250 pounds, I think, something like that, or 300 pounds. So those sorts of issues, getting sufficient strength in the parts is important for us to be able to demonstrate for people that then want machines. But yeah, I think by the end of the year, there'll be a number of machines in the biomass space.
I think that's all very exciting. And I certainly look forward to seeing that time when they're released and all of this comes to full fruition.
Yes, yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, Andy, thank you. Thank you so much. This is really interesting.
Fantastic.
I look forward to just seeing your progress and hopefully speaking to you again.